And welcome to Make Audio. I'm Philip Tyrone, associate editor of Make Magazine, and for the next half an hour or so, we're going to be talking with Rob Elam from Propel Fuels, and we're going to talk about diesel fuels, biodiesel fuels, how it's made, where to get it, the mixtures, all sorts of things. If you're interested in any type of alternative fuel, in particular biodiesel, this is definitely the show for you. So let's go. All right, I'm here with Rob Elam from Propel Fuels. Is that right, Rob?
That's right, Propel Fuels of Seattle, Washington.
Excellent. And you guys, you make fuel. What type of fuel do you make over there?
Well, we actually don't manufacture the fuel itself, but we serve as a distributor for a number of companies that make biodiesel fuel.
Mm-hmm. And in like regular, everyday people terms, what's the difference between diesel and biodiesel?
Well, biodiesel is a diesel substitute, or a diesel fuel, a fuel for diesel engines, I should say. That is a 100% renewable fuel made from a number of sources, primarily vegetable oils or used vegetable oils, hence the nickname the French fry fuel occasionally, that runs without modification in any diesel engine.
So in terms of like what vehicles can use it, is it any diesel-powered vehicle could potentially use it?
Any diesel vehicle can potentially use it. The only hang-up, it sounds so silly because you can essentially put it right in the tank of any diesel engine and it will run just fine. Some of the older diesel engines have, using existing diesel fuel, our diesel fuel in America is kind of cruddy traditionally, and leaves a lot of deposits and junk through the fuel system. And so when you run biodiesel fuel, biodiesel also serves as a bit of a solvent, and that will loosen any of these deposits, push them into a fuel filter, which all diesel engines have, and can conceivably clog that fuel filter. Also, the older cars from the 80s, late 70s, used natural rubber hoses, and biodiesel can break down that rubber. So all the current cars use Viton and these new materials for their hoses and gaskets and those kinds of things, but a simple upgrade of the hoses, go through a fuel filter to clean out your fuel system, and any diesel vehicle is ready to roll.
And in terms of like the process of making it, you mentioned vegetable oils. Like what goes into making biodiesel fuel from a production standpoint, from start to finish?
Well, there are a number of different approaches. It's essentially a process called transesterification, which removes the large, breaks down the vegetable oil molecules and takes away the large molecule, which is glycerin, and leaves the smaller molecules, which are called methyl esters. And methyl ester is biodiesel. And the reason that they do that in biodiesel is to allow for a more viscous and lower gel point fuel. So you can run it in lower temperatures, run it through the existing diesel engines, which require a more viscous fuel. The process is old and has been known for a long time. Doing it on a large scale requires some, technology and it's almost a logistical issue of moving all the vegetable oil in and all the biodiesel out. But essentially you add alcohol, generally methanol. Ethanol can also be used. A catalyst that splits up the glycerol from the methyl esters. And the result is about 90% biodiesel and 10% glycerol.
And so where do you get the vegetable oil? You mentioned, the French fry nickname. Is it primarily from fast food? Is that where a lot of the oil comes from, the extra fuel?
Some of the oil. The primary oil source in the United States for biodiesel right now is soybean oil from the Midwest. And that's used because soybeans are a huge crop grown primarily for the soybean meal, which is a protein component of animal food and a number of other things. The oil has been left without a market to some degree, so it was available. And people have been turning that into biodiesel over the last 3 to 5 years. A number of other oils, from waste vegetable oils, which would be the equivalent of like the French fry oils or the Chinese restaurant oils, can be used, as well as, sounds kind of gross, but rendered animal fats from animal slaughterhouses and other things, but primarily in the United States, biodiesel is made from soybean oil at this point.
So it sounds like we're reusing a lot of potential waste products that would normally get thrown away. Is that one of the benefits of biodiesel? It's using this material that normally wouldn't be used and using it for something useful?
Absolutely, although I think there's still much work to be done to use even more recyclable materials, biodiesel feedstocks that are either once or twice used oil stocks, and that includes the recycled vegetable oils and includes the results of rendering plants and other commercial uses that put out fatty acids or fat oils of some type that can be turned into a biodiesel fuel. Primarily, the soybean oils that we're using now are what's called virgin oils, which means they're first used oils. They haven't been used for another process at this point. Mm-hmm. We do have those available to us at this point, so it's still a great source to create a renewable fuel from. But as the demand for biodiesel grows, I expect there will become a number of new oil sources available that to really realize the potential.
And so, in terms of pollution, are the emissions less harmful than regular diesel fuel? Is that one of the benefits too?
Absolutely, they're less harmful. And you'll get some contention about the life cycle pollutants of the biodiesel. They are much less than gasoline and diesel, certainly. Greenhouse emissions, life cycle, are essentially zero if you count the growth of the plant, of the feedstock plant. So if you count the amount of carbon dioxide that's taken out of the air by the soybean plant as it grows, you're essentially at a zero greenhouse emission product in biodiesel. Also, the particulate emissions are much lower because biodiesel combusts much more fully than petroleum diesel fuel. There is some question about the NOx emissions of biodiesel versus existing diesel, and studies have shown both ways that there can be a 3 to 5% increase in NOx. The more recent studies coming out of the National Renewable Energy Lab and the Department of Energy are saying that there may in fact be zero increase to a slight decrease in NOx, which is encouraging. NOx can be a low-level smog agent, particularly in urban areas. So it would be very encouraging if biodiesel can be shown to be a lower NOx-emitting fuel.
And as far as any physical things on the car, I mean, do you have to be careful of cold weather, or is speed or torque or anything like that affected? What's the difference between the straight-up diesel versus biodiesel for that?
Pretty much straight up. If you're running B100, 100% biodiesel, you'll notice, well, I haven't noticed any in my car, but a 3 to 5% drop in power, 3 to 5% less energy in biodiesel versus petroleum diesel. The cold weather issue is a good one, and a number of people are working to crack it. Biodiesel does gel or thicken at a higher temperature than petroleum diesel, although petroleum diesel also thickens in cold weather, and they've used a number of additives to allow for diesel engines in cold weather conditions in Minnesota or Canada or places like that. The problem is a lot of those additives are petroleum-based, so you end up adding some petroleum-based additives to your biodiesel, which defeats the purpose to some extent, but there are a number of projects ongoing that are seeking to solve the problem, and I think as biodiesel becomes more widespread, we'll see much more of a market develop and encourage the research and development of these products that can get the temperature down to 0 degrees or even below zero. Right now, a lot of people say 30 degrees for B100. If you add a small amount of petroleum diesel, if you're running B80 or 80% biodiesel, 20% diesel, you should be good down to 15 or 10 degrees.
Mm-hmm. Now,
Fahrenheit.
As far as, and this is, I guess, again, a basic question, why don't we see, two questions. Why don't we see all of the petroleum manufacturers switch over to biodiesel, and why don't we see biodiesel-like gasoline products? I mean, what's the major difference between diesel and regular gasoline that it can't do that?
Well, you'll have to ask the automotive industry and the petroleum industry, but I suspect there are a number of reasons. The United States has had some issues with diesel technology in general based on our emissions and particulate emissions specifically for diesels. And that's kind of set us back a little bit. Diesel engines are inherently much more efficient than gasoline engines. So, for instance, if you run if you have a 2005 Volkswagen Passat diesel versus a 2005 Volkswagen Passat gasoline car, the diesel will realize 40% more miles per gallon just by running a diesel engine, internal combustion, or
really?
A compression engine versus the internal combustion. So that's why you see most of Europe and most of the nations who are serious about efficiency in transportation have looked to diesel as their primary sector right now as a way to increase efficiency. And right now, 60% of the new cars sold in Europe are diesel.
And so they can just go ahead and move to biodiesel anytime. It just becomes easier to move the fuel around and procure it and all those things. They can just, it's like flipping a switch, right? I mean, no disruption in service at all.
Absolutely. And they are the leader in global biodiesel production. Germany specifically is the leading nation in biodiesel production, which makes sense because Rudolf Diesel was the inventor of the diesel engine back in the late 1800s. And he had in mind peanut oil as the initial fuel for the diesel engine at that point. So it's an old technology that's finally had its having its appropriate time.
So, you know, with the and I'll ask you about the price of biodiesel in a second, but we all know what's going on in the world right now. We all know the gas prices, and we all know, you know, there's all sorts of world events going on that, you know, depending on who you talk to, they're either directly related to oil or not directly related to oil. Why do you have any ideas on why we don't hear or we don't have car companies in the U.S. pushing diesel? I mean, a 40% increase in efficiency, I mean, that should be like the lead story. That should be, you know, on TV and everybody go out and get a diesel vehicle. Why don't you think we're hearing that at all?
Well, I think there's two main reasons. One is that during the last time we had a crisis in price for gasoline and diesel engines, diesel cars became available in the early 80s, late 70s, we had some really bad diesel cars introduced in the United States, and it left a very poor taste in consumers' mouths and noses, more importantly, in that when they think of diesels, many people think of a stinky, smoky, smelly transportation, you know, and the reality of the new diesels, like all technologies, the new diesels are incredibly quiet and smooth, and the emissions are great. You know, I think the other reason is just the gasoline has remained so cheap in the U.S. for so long, especially recently, that there have been, I mean, we can all point to the SUV sales and a number of symptoms that show that American consumers just really haven't been driven by efficiencies, and the American car companies have always denied that there was any interest in high-efficiency vehicles. I think the Toyota Prius has gone a long way towards showing Detroit that there is an incredible pent-up demand for more efficient vehicles out there, and I would hope that they would parlay that knowledge into not only increased hybrid availability but also increased diesel availabilities and embrace biodiesel as an alternative fuel and ethanol as an alternative to gasoline with flex fuel vehicles. And really start to help the American public to offer us some choices and begin to wean us from this terrible predicament that we found ourselves in.
So what's the price difference between biodiesel, diesel, and I guess, you know, your super premium gasoline? What's it running now?
Well, about a month ago, they were all pretty close to the same. Biodiesel right now in Seattle is anywhere from $2.60 to $3 a gallon. Diesel fuel has really gone down lately, but diesel fuel in the Seattle area for a while was close to $3 a gallon as well. It was common to see it for $2.90 in the city. And, you know, super premium gasoline, unleaded, is, of course, you know, $2.60, $2.80, $2.90 as well, although you're getting, you know, 10 miles, 15 miles per gallon less in your super unleaded car than you would be in a diesel car. So at this point, I think biodiesel remains a premium product, and you know, the people who are using it for reasons beyond price point will continue to buy it. But I think we're looking at, you know, a rising vector of petroleum price pressure demand and a lowering vector of biodiesel as production increases, as federal subsidies increase, state subsidies increase. And I think the real question for biodiesel going forward, at least in the Puget Sound region, is will we be able to produce enough to meet the demand?
And, you know, speaking of that, so you just I actually stopped by your pump at Laurelhurst Oil. Can you tell me a little bit about how that came about and that new pump and everything about it over there?
You betcha. That was a wonderful project that's been about 6 months in the making. Laurelhurst Oil was the first card lock gas station in the city of Seattle from 1941. And a card lock station means that it's unattended and you have essentially a credit card or an account that you run through the card reader and it opens the pumps for you, so it's unattended. It's a family business, and the owner, the son of the founder, had an interest in biodiesel, and we helped him put together all the components of opening up a biodiesel a pump, actually two pumps, including putting a 10,000-gallon tank into the ground and identifying the customer base. And he's in a great location near the University of Washington, so there are a number of people who have been looking to have access to biodiesel from the pump. And it's been a great success so far. It's been open officially for 2 weeks. The neighborhood Volkswagen dealer, incidentally, has noticed an incredible jump in requests for diesel vehicles that can run biodiesel.
Really?
Including the first 2 weeks of, or the last 2 weeks of May, over 60% of their sales were for TDI Volkswagens or diesel Volkswagens with people asking to run biodiesel. So that's really an incredible phenomenon that's happening right under us, which is, that's what happens when you offer people choice. It becomes an empowering position, and people will make a choice that suits their sensibilities and lifestyle. And our challenge with biodiesel from Propel's Fuels perspective is really to just create awareness and get the fuel out there and make it available. So awareness and availability, and if we feel like we can overcome those hurdles, then people will embrace an alternative choice. And then we have to worry about where is everyone going to get their diesel vehicles. So we're probably a couple years out from availability of a lot of different models of cars that are available in diesel, but I think they're coming.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. If you're shopping for a car right now and you're turned on to biodiesel and you like the idea and there's a pump in your area, you know, especially in Seattle, there definitely is now. Which vehicles do you like? I mean, which ones are the ones, new and slightly used? All things are okay. What are your choices?
Well, your choices are limited, which is a bummer. But Volkswagen offers a full line of all their cars in TDIs, if you can get a hold of them. There's a limited supply that's brought into the United States. So you have your Golf, Jetta, Passat, even the Touareg that are available in TDI models. I think one of the favorites around here, I personally drive a Passat station wagon TDI, which gets about 35 city and 40-plus highway running 100% biodiesel. Oh. But one of the favorites is the manual transmission Jetta wagon, which is a great car that gets upwards of 55 on the highway, potentially 40 inside the city running a renewable fuel, which is an incredible thing. On the used market, you have a number of leftovers from the 80s, the energy crisis, and getting your hands on one of those can be a challenge. But if you can get it, there's plenty of really cool old Mercedes. There's some old Audis and old Volvos floating around, and some of those will require some upgrades to the internal hoses and hardware to make sure that they're compliant with biodiesel, and a lot of times they have high miles, so they might require some other updates. But those can be great cars, especially for, you know, small in-city commuter cars or things like that. And then you have, of course, all the really big trucks, the Ford F-250s and the big Chevy 2500s and those kinds of things, which they make in diesels primarily for the torque advantage of the diesel engine. Mm. And then the fleet vehicles. So a number of fleets, business fleets, are interested in running biodiesel, the larger vehicles that are diesel-powered primarily for the diesel efficiency also can run biodiesel. So there's a lot of existing diesel vehicles that can run biodiesel right now, but on a consumer level, we don't have a heck of a lot of choices.
So what's the future? Is it a hybrid biodiesel car? Is it a combination? Is it all sorts of different types of energy solutions to different, climates and different areas on the planet and in the U.S.? What's it look like? What do you think what's going to happen?
Well, my primary concern would be that we start making change now and not wait any longer. So how that's going to take shape, I have no idea, but I would hope that it's a mixture of a number of solutions. Plug-in electric cars are very efficient. vehicle for low range if you don't have to travel too far. Biodiesel as a renewable fuel is a great answer for long-haul truckers, for instance, that use lots of diesel fuel, or urban transportation buses, things like that. For our personal vehicles, I think you have the Prius and those types of hybrids. As long as you do get the efficiency that you're expecting, you know, 2 or 3 times existing gasoline mileage is certainly an advantage over what we're doing today, although you're still using gasoline, so there is some handicap with that. But I think the dream from our perspective, being a biodiesel guy, is the diesel hybrid engine, which combines the incredible efficiency of the diesel with an assisted battery. And then you're talking, you know, potentially 80, 90, 100 miles per gallon on a, you know, a nice, comfortable family sedan that you can run on a 100% renewable fuel biodiesel. And, you know, then you really got something. If we can get enough of those out there and we can get the biodiesel production nationwide up to a level where we can fuel those cars comfortably without being too expensive. And by saying too expensive, I don't mean any cheaper than it is today, but as cheap or maybe a little bit more expensive than it is today, with the increased efficiency, still have value there. Boy, that would be a heck of a deal if we could accomplish that.
Yeah. Is there any type of legislation? I guess I'll throw a couple questions at you. You know, one, is there a tax break if you do this? And two, is there any legislation? Like, could people ask the government to say, okay, if you make, you know, Hummers, you have to make them diesel. You know, if we continue to every McDonald's that we, you know, have in town, we have to have a biodiesel or some type of way to do something with all these fast food restaurants with all the things that they're producing. I mean, is there anything we can do, or is it just like, you know, something has to happen first, like consumer demand or something? I mean, or gas prices need to get worse. I mean, what can people do, or what type of laws can be passed or something?
Well, you're right. There's a bit of the chicken and the egg problem, but I think we're getting past that a little bit, at least in the biodiesel front. There's been a number of proposed bills on the federal level, on state, even city levels, that encourage the use of renewable fuels, biodiesel being one of them. And those can range from, for instance, Washington State. If you build a alternative fuel distribution outlet, a pump, basically, you pay no sales or business and occupation tax on any of the services or goods that you use to build the pump. So that's an incentive, and that can be several thousand dollars on a project for putting in a pump and a tank. Maria Cantwell, the junior senator from Washington State, has done a great job pushing legislation to the current energy bill on a federal level to provide subsidies for biodiesel use, biodiesel manufacture, technology development for biofuels, including ethanol, some other biofuels that are in development right now, which can be great, which we need to study more. So there are a number of subsidies on the production side, on the retail side, as far as the consumers go. The question mark with biodiesel and diesel cars is that you can use either dirty petroleum diesel or clean biodiesel in the same vehicle, so it becomes difficult to actually subsidize the vehicle itself, unlike the hybrid cars and such. But I'm hopeful. There's certainly been a lot of attention. I think we saw in Bush's first term the lots of talk about hydrogen and the coming hydrogen economy and the hydrogen salvation. And you know, when you peek behind the curtain of the hydrogen economy, you see a lot of Detroit automotive and petroleum people back there. And
it's the gas guys.
I think that the gas guys. You know, that's the big promise. Don't worry about a thing. Just keep running your existing car, keep burning oil, and then in 10 years we're going to flip a switch and it's going to be magically solved. And I think that now that the pressure is on, we see that the hydrogen economy is 50 years out in the best case scenario, possibly never to exist if price prohibitive as well as being able to get the hydrogen from somewhere without burning fossil fuels has really become an interesting predicament. It becomes a negative energy balance product as it exists today. So I think we're seeing now an awakening to the realities of our situation, and biofuels are poised to solve problems today, and so we're seeing a lot more interest in how to get these biofuels accessible, available, and produced to a level that we can use them. But don't underestimate the scale of this problem. It is a magnificent problem that I've read that even if we turned all the available oils in the United States today into biodiesel, and that includes waste vegetable oils, virgin oils from all of our grain crops that we could substitute maybe 20% of our diesel fuel usage at this
wow.
point. So the scale of the problem that we found ourselves in is magnificent.
Wow. Yeah, if we could stop growing so much corn, you know, to make the high fructose corn syrup and, you know, make the soybeans and, you know, have that as the crop to have in the U.S. and potentially start turning all of the lands into soybeans, because it seems like soybeans just have so many uses. Maybe that's something. But, yeah, I hear what you're saying. I mean, I'm a little depressed now. But it sounds like, you know, you guys are certainly doing stuff. If people are interested in finding out more, where can they go? You know, your website, which is propelfuels.com. Where else? What other resources or groups or enthusiast gatherings for vehicles? What else is out there?
Absolutely. Well, the National Biodiesel Board serves as the industry spokesperson for biodiesel. It's primarily an agriculture-based business, primarily soybean farmers. That website is nationalbiodieselboard.org or nbb.org. One of the best discussion boards, a place to ask questions with great amount of expertise and lots of intelligent posters, is biodieselnow.com. A number of forums covering everything from hypothetical questions about the future of biodiesel to questions about how you can fix your 78 Mercedes to run on biodiesel. So that's a great site, and I would say that those two are the best places to get started. NBB.org is a place to do research, and Biodiesel Now as a place to get support ongoing as you dip your toe in the water running biodiesel.
All right. Well, Rob, thank you so much. This is great. I finally got a chance to talk to someone who knew so much about this. So you answered all my questions, and I'm sure a lot of people who tune in to Make will be happy about this too. It's a complex problem with complex solutions, but it seems like, you know, you've got some stuff going on, and thanks for keeping the air a little cleaner out here in Seattle. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. I would just encourage anybody that's considered running biodiesel to just talk to their friends and coworkers and neighbors about it, and get your hands on a diesel vehicle if you don't already have one, and put biodiesel in the tank and give it a go.
All right. Well, hey, thanks a lot, Rob.
Thanks much.
For the show notes, for more information about Make Magazine, and to subscribe, visit makezine.com.